Bye, kids. We'll see you back in just a little bit. Our scripture today comes from John chapter 15. As I said, we're looking at one of those I am scriptures. Jesus, I said this last week, but Jesus, in the book of John, there are seven I am statements. And then there's seven other places that he says, I am. I am is a reference back to when God claimed the name Yahweh, which was the word that's translated I am when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. But also, John uses the number seven, the seven times, because in numerology, seven is the number of perfection. John uses several groups of seven, like the seven I am statements. This is one of those I am statements that Jesus speaks. He probably said a whole lot more, but John includes seven very intentionally. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, I grew up about 12 miles down the road. I measured it out when I first was assigned to be the pastor here in 2018. I Googled it and Googled my address and found they're 12 miles apart. And so I grew up, this is my hood, in Chesterfield, over there at Green Trails area of Chesterfield, if any of you know that. Anybody play on Green Trails Golf Course? If you do that today, you'll hit houses. There's no more golf course. But grew up right down the road from it. And in growing up, I did what most of us did that are of an age. Our parents, in the morning, kicked us out of the house and told us not to come back until supper. And we gladly left, just headed out. And we played sports, or we played, you know, games, or for me and my friends, we spent a lot of time in the woods. I just liked being in the woods. And in our house, the backyard sloped down to a ravine, but the ravine was covered with a wooded area. And then on the other side of the wooded area, there was a farm field that went up, and it was mostly wheat. I just remember it was always wheat in that field. And that's all houses too now. But that wooded area that started about three houses that way and continued down about five houses that way, and then there was the golf course, and it was wooded area all along there too. And I spent a lot of time just in that whole stretch of woods. And growing up there, I learned that there are certain things you avoid in the woods, right? And certain things that you enjoy in the woods. And it turns out that there are vines in Missouri that it's important to know which one is which, right? So for me, there were principally three different kinds of vines, and there was a reason for that. First of all, there was the grape vine, right? That was the fun one. That was the one that you know, it hung from the trees, and you pulled to make sure it was going to hang from the trees, and then you got Dad's saw and hoped you remember to put it back where you found it, or you heard about that many times. But you saw off the bottom of that vine so you could swing on it. So much fun. Not so much for the vine, but The Missouri grapevine was wonderful. It was a great vine for that. The other two vines, and I know there's a whole lot more. People brought up honeysuckle to me. We're not talking about honeysuckle. But the other two vines, one of them is the Virginia creeper. Have you heard of this? Virginia creeper. Now, this is a type of vine, there you go, that actually sticks to the tree. Instead of hanging from the tree, it sticks to the tree. And when it first starts growing, instead of five leaves, there's only three. And you know the problem with three-leaved vines? Well, that's the third vine to talk about, and that's poison ivy, right? Poison ivy, leaves of three, let it be. That's an important note for all of us. Leaves of three, let it be. Three types. So those are the three types of vines that to me were significant to be able to tell the difference of. You know, you wanted to know which one was a grape and which one was poison ivy. Now, poison ivy just kind of gloms onto the tree and it wraps itself. I don't know how to describe it, but it's the one, it's really adhered to the tree, kind of like Virginia creeper, but different. And it's important to know the difference. It's important to be able to recognize the difference. Well, keep those vines in mind as we explore this metaphor that is presented in this scripture. One of the other parts of this metaphor is about fruit. Jesus talks about that you're a branch that's meant to bear fruit. And fruit is one of those common metaphors that Jesus returns to time and again. You read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not just in John. You read about bearing fruit in many of the other letters of the New Testament. It's a very common theme. When I moved here in July of 2018, my first sermon series, I talked about the fruits of the Spirit. There's nine of those, and we did a nine-week series on each one of those fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the problem with those fruits is that so many of us, if you're like me, you're like, oh, Lord, I need more love and peace in my life, I just give these things to me, Lord. But trees never benefit from the fruit, right? The purpose of the fruit is not for the tree that gave it. The purpose of the fruit is to feed others. And so as we're told and taught about fruitfulness, it's what we give, not what we get. It's one of those twists that we have to understand as followers of Jesus Christ. It's not about what we get. It's about what we give. That's what Jesus means when he says fruitfulness. I mean, other than propagation of the species, the tree does nothing to benefit the tree itself. And I'm not sure it cares about the other tree. So think about that too as you think about this whole fruitfulness thing. In the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea talks about vines and branches as well. And he talks about Israel being the vine. But the problem with Israel, as Hosea points out, the problem with the nation of Israel in that time was that they were not bearing fruit for God. They were bearing fruit for themselves. So when Jesus says, I am the vine, people that are familiar with the Old Testament, like everybody he's talking to in that day, would have gone, oh, wait, I thought Israel was the vine. Why the new vine? Well, Christians as the branches replace Israel as the chosen ones. I know that's hard to hear for some people. That really kind of messes some people up. But that's the point in this. So let's return to those Missouri vines for a minute. Of the three I mentioned, did you know that all three produce fruit? So poison ivy has a berry. Virginia creeper has a berry, probably because Virginia creeper is actually a grape. And then, of course, wild grape has grapes. And the thing is that when they're green, you can't hardly tell which one is which. When they mature, poison ivy is generally reddish to white, usually white because it has a waxy coating. Virginia creeper is purple with a waxy coating that's white. And many wild grapes in Missouri, the vast majority of them are white grapes. They look alike. It's hard to tell the difference. So let's talk about each of one as that sort of understanding of how they relate to us. Poison ivy. It has a fruit from a bad vine. Those branches that are connected to the very thing it describes produces a fruit that is poison. Birds can eat it, but in general, mammals don't eat poison ivy berries. Because the same thing that happens on the outside to your skin happens in your mouth and everywhere it touches on the way through. It might make you sick. Enough of it will kill you. The fruit will kill you. For our conversation, it represents evil in the world. Those things that sometimes we find ourselves connected to. And there's so much in the world that is evil that we just don't even notice anymore. It's like when you're walking through the woods and just everything is a leafy green thing and you just kind of walk through it and you don't notice until later what you came up across. One of the places I see it so much, and this is a theme I return to too often, I guess, but one of the places I see it so much is in politics today. I mean, our politics are ugly. I think our political system is great. I think the way that politicians are acting right now is not so much. Not all of them. Because politicians and people that comment on those things are much like the rest of us, right? That there's 15% on either end, and they're making all the noise. And then there's the 70% of us in the middle. Now, we may be saying in our mind, I'm so glad they're saying that because I'm not going to. Or on the other side. Or we're thinking, I just wish they'd stop talking. Because it's poison. And it's killing us. And there's so many other things that you could bring up. And I mean, social media is awful and war. What could be worse than that? All these things that are killing us. And too often we find ourselves taking sides on these things that are killing us, which means we're participating in spreading the poison. We're attached to the wrong vine. If any part of your life is spent listening to these extremes and living them out in the way that you post or the way that you speak or the way that you act, you're connected to a poison that's killing you and killing those around you. Maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually, and quite possibly physically, killing those around you. So let's look at the other extreme, the vine that is Christ. That's the grapevine. The wild grapevine represents that. And you may not know that wild grapevines, not necessarily in Missouri, but wild grapevines were used originally. They were grafted into other wines, and the white grape of the wild grapevines, not all of them are white, but the white grapes of the wild grapevines became the Catawba and the Concord grapes that are often used for wines. And so the wild grape vine bears a fruit that is positive, that is useful. And they're fruits that are edible, not only by the birds, but also by animals and humans alike. And while the ones that are out in the wild right now are very small, and they're edible, though. They're just not like the big globe grapes that you find in the grocery store. But like being connected to a good vine, you're called to be connected to Christ. Because a good vine nourishes the branches that give forth the fruit, the good fruit. Christ seeks to have a connection with you in which you're nourished by him, that you grow and thrive under his leadership, that you'll allow the vine dresser or the gardener, as it says in this passage, the Father God, to graft you into a life that bears fruit. Allow yourself to be pruned, cutting away that part of you that is unhealthy and not life-giving so that you can bear good fruit. Remember what I said about the fruit. It's not for your benefit. And this again, is part of the hardest thing that we need to come to grips with as a follower of Jesus Christ, and that's this. If you are not dedicated to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's all about you. The moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you devote yourself to Christ, it's not about you. And that's the hardest flip we make. Worship's not about you. Fellowship's not about you. Learning is not about you. It's about growing you in a way that you can bear good fruit. But the fruit's not for your benefit. It's the hardest spin that we have to make, the flip that we have to make as followers of Jesus Christ, is to recognize that once we're a follower, it's not about me. It's about those who aren't here yet. I love the quote. I don't remember who said it, but the quote is that the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of people that aren't members. And the collection of those who are the branches are the church. And we exist to bear fruit for those who are not members. It's all about you until it's not about you at all. In a moment, we'll partake in communion and we'll share that cup. We don't really. We have little cups that you get your individual one. But the cup is filled with juice, grape juice. We just taught in confirmation last week. What can you drink as a part of communion? What fits? What's right? Apple juice? No. Diet Coke? No. Coffee? Well, if you want me to relate to you, yes, but no. It's juice, grape juice, juice from the fruit of the vine. Why? Because we honor what Christ did on that first communion, on that first time that he offered it to others, where he talked about this juice is my blood poured out for you. It's my sacrifice. It's the fruit that Christ bears. And now we're called to bear fruit for others. And there's that third part of the metaphor of the vines that I want to lift up again, and that is the Virginia creeper. Because Virginia creeper bears a small fruit that to the untrained eye could be poison ivy or wild grape. It'd be easy to make that mistake. But here's the thing about Virginia creeper berries. They're really of no value. Ever heard of Virginia creeper jelly? No. Ever hear of Virginia creeper wine? There's some people that get creepier on wine, but that's something different. It's a fruit that is innocuous. Doesn't really have much of a flavor, doesn't have any value. The birds eat it, and that's about it. Virginia creeper reminds me of the story that I read recently as I've been writing those devotions through the whole New Testament, and I wrote on the book of Revelation. And in the book of the Revelation, there are those many churches that Jesus calls out to, and he calls them to task. And there's the one called Laodicea. And he says this, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write this. These are the words of the Amen, Christ, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out. That's the Virginia creeper. No flavor, no nutrition, no value to us, pretty much worthy of being spit out. Grapes give life, provide nourishment. Poison ivy, it's clear what it does. But what about when the people of God gather together and are so innocuous that they make no difference? Followers of Jesus Christ who are connected to Christ are called to gather together, to cluster, if you will. And we call it the church. And the church is called to make a difference in the community, to change lives. Lives are changed spiritually, emotionally. And if anyone has a physical need, that's addressed as well. The church in Laodicea and so many Christians and so many churches are neither hot nor cold. They bear fruit that does nothing. It's innocuous. When I was a Good Shepherd, a church I served a few years back, I accidentally said something in a sermon that really wasn't in the sermon. I do this all the time. I just spout off things off the top of my head, like just now. And I said something that caught on. And so I know it was of God and not of Dave because it caught on. And what I said was this: does it matter that there's a church at the corner of 96th and North Oak? That was where that church was located. Does it matter? So let's say it for this church. Does it matter that there's a church at Pond in Manchester? Does it matter? And what does it take to make sure that we matter? Another way of asking that is, if living words ceased to exist, would anybody in the community notice? Do we make a difference by bearing fruit into the community? Are lives impacted, changed by what we say and what we do? Are we bearing fruit? Will the community starve for the lack of fruit that we offer? You see, a vine doesn't only have one branch. If it did, I suppose that the biblical story would be all about you. But God calls us to be connected to the vine, all of us. And the vine is Jesus Christ. So we can bear fruit for the sake of others. So how are you bearing fruit? Is it poison connected to a vine that only seeks the worst for people? Is it innocuous, worthy of nothing except being spit out? Or is it life-giving, signifying the connection to the one whose fruitfulness is sacrifice for the sake of others? Amen and amen.